Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the China Shop, the home of the Bandit Traders Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight, I've got Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and old friend Bear Goes Long. Shout out to the live listeners. Glad to know we're not the only ones sitting at home on a Friday evening thinking about trading. Tonight's topic, be looking at managing risk while volatility is expanding, I think is what I wrote there. There's a bunch of stuff to it. That was about the best way I could sum that up. We'll follow that up with hopefully some celebrations in the good, bad, and ugly, and probably give PieBot another crack at a bold prediction. First, let's give everybody a chance to plug and promote to their heart's content. Baba, my boy, tell me what you got going on, buddy.
Dude, I mean, you know, same as always. Same things. Would love for people to come hang out on Fridays.
How many times you got to say it before they do it?
I mean, we've had people, we have more people, I guess, this Friday probably than before. But, I mean, today was, yeah, was interesting. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, we'll get a good Friday, one of these Fridays, and you may be lucky enough to be along when we have that Friday, and we can be together for it. Wouldn't that be fun?
I thought this Friday wasn't too bad. It was a little annoying, but there's some good movement.
Yeah, a lot of movement. A lot of movement. I had to go to an appointment, so I was out before the right. Easy movement started.
Okay. Now it all comes out.
Fair enough. Bear, what do you got going on, man? Anything you want to promote?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at @goesbear. And, you know, the best thing I've listened to this week was Kyle's interview with Sean. And
that was a good one.
Psychology.
Sound performance psychology.
That was a fantastic interview. I absolutely recommend everybody go listen to that.
I'd love to get him and Rich Friesen and maybe even Andrew all together in the same room one day. See what happens.
Let Cleo moderate the three of them and just have like psychology roundtable.
Yeah, she'd probably be a lot better at that than I would. Yeah, maybe we'll see if she's into that. Show news. Not this week, but the following Friday. I've been talking to Baba about this. We want to do an AI episode. I think for that one, whoever's joining in needs to go to, what's the name of that site again? Is that Udio?
Yeah.
Udio.com. Try to put together your best AI-generated song and send it to us. We'll play the best ones. Next week, our guest should be Eric Mason in another economics episode, but that's not scheduled to record till next week, so we'll see if it's ready in time for Thursday release. I'm ready to concede, too, on Sweden. I don't think they're going to be hitting top five in the charts before the end of this month, so I'm all on board with Team Slovenia now. Markori, if you're listening, man, I'm counting on you to lead us to the charge number one. All right, should we check in with some bold predictions, see how they did?
Sounds like fun.
Always.
Does anyone remember what PieBot said last week?
I think she said, or it said, we were like going to zero.
No, that was the week before, I think.
Oh.
No, that's okay. It said, make history next week when TSM became the first semiconductor company to reach a 1 trillion market cap.
I guess that didn't happen.
No. Where did they finish? As of today, their market cap is 775 billion. Actually, went up a little bit.
I mean, it's definitely within the realm of the possible.
What do they need to, like, add 50% to their market cap?
Yeah, roughly. It'd be like a $225 million gain they'd have to hit, or billion-dollar gain.
Peanuts.
Yeah. Also, they just had earnings, I think, when that thing went out. So probably not the best. I asked him if he wanted to stick with it. He said, go with it. Okay. We'll see if he does any better this week.
Gotta do it.
Going on to tonight's topic, then. I kind of tease this a little bit. Bear, I know you're a little excited to be talking about volatility. I'm going to just kind of open this up to any different way that you guys want to take this. Talk about how your processes change. How do you recognize when volatility is expanding or contracting? Tendencies in these environments. Do you do well in them or do you do poorly? Are you more defensive? Do you press more? Like, how do you guys want to, how you guys want to tackle this one?
All of the above.
Kyle, you just asked a lot of exactly. questions.
I know. So take your pick. Dealer's choice. I'll cut the other ones out you don't answer.
yeah. That was a lot.
Let's start with the first part then. Like, so when volatility is increasing, like, what are you doing? How does your process change? What things are you thinking about when the environment's starting to shift like that?
I'd say that today, let's look at the week.
Yeah.
I think, and shout out to Flary if he's listening, but there was mention of 15-minute. You've been doing the don't trade for 15 minutes thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't really, I mean, I'm fine with that. It's not, I don't do that, but I think it's a healthy or helpful, good practice. It did spur me to look at my intraday equity curve over the last couple of weeks based on a timeline. Really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd love to actually talk about that at some point, either here or off this, but there's a strong pattern in that, which is interesting. But I think one of the things Flary mentioned, which we look at, but we've been a little more focused on, is that 15-minute range, mainly because of your, you know, desire to let things kind of settle before taking a position. And I think there's times when the volatility is wild, but there's still clean opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it seems like at least the last week that 15-minute range / 15-minute volume point of control seemed to really create a great springboard for a trade entry. Mm-hmm. Multiple times. So for me, I don't remember the last time we had volatility kicking up like this. You'd have to go back, you know, like
it's been a minute,
3-4 months, you know, 90 days or more probably to get to something where we had any kind of pace like that.
Last time VIX was this high was in April.
Yeah.
April 19th. Yeah.
Yeah. April. I was kind of in it. Yeah. So, I think one of the staple trades that I'm going to kind of keep on watch for high vol events is that 15-minute range, 15-minute volume point of control. I want it to be really clean. So where I feel like these high vol environments get tricky is the whippiness of them, like everybody experienced. So you kind of need, you have, let's say you have levels or zones or whatever, you just go ahead and expect those are going to get blown through. But what I noticed was really clean on the cleanest of the high volume days was that 15-minute, like how we set that first sack of volume really gave clean opportunities early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I mean, you were around this week, like I had that up every day talking through that because the opportunities were pretty clean off that. Now today was a little, you know, we got some option expiration whippiness and whatever until we finally kind of closed, like say a 5-minute above that, and then we got pretty trendy to the upside, and then they kind of rolled it all back and floored it out. Weren't going to let it get below 100, but yeah, I think finding something even in this environment that you can kind of lean a little more into when things are really paced up is something I found myself doing, like maybe leaning away from the smaller time frame internal structure in rotations as entry points and trying to kind of zoom out to stuff a little more substantial to even think about doing something. Well, like today I played ping pong with myself like 4 times, you know.
Right.
I basically, you know, took a trade, took a scale, took a stop, flipped a trade, took a scale, took a stop, flipped the trade. Like, I realized that we needed things to settle out before I could really do anything of any consequence, and I knew I had to leave. So before everything settled out.
What's interesting is you mentioned the 15-minute OR, and like that's something that I've incorporated to like wait for that to play out. But I'm not actually looking at anything specifically with how that range plays out necessarily. Like for me, it's all about giving myself time to make sure that I'm actually seeing things well. Like I'm in tune with what the market's doing. I'm usually putting up spots, I'm looking at like places where I would want to take entries, and then I'm kind of getting a judge of like how well those are working out, how well I'm likely to continue doing for the rest of the day. Or at least that's kind of the thought. But
no, I mean, that's great. I think that's great. I think if you like, I like identifying a setup inside of that. One thing I also began to notice like this week, just with regard to that, is the number of like we opened, we had earlier, we had this, and I know today like today and yesterday's IB was overlapping. Today's IB was inside yesterday's IB. Today we opened inside yesterday's value. Today's 15-minute range overlapped to some extent with yesterday's 15-minute range. Like, there's a lot of stuff that made today kind of you know, from that standpoint. And it was really, we were at kind of the next area, this area that we've kind of bounced out of this 18940s, 18940s again, bounced out of the 19050s. Like, this is now becoming a place that sellers need to kind of find the same vigor that they had earlier in this move down. And I think what the 15 minutes volume point, like, that's going to be your strongest kind of trend to look. If you think about it, like 15 minutes in, if we're below VWAP, we have a no tick OR, or we barely swept the other side of OR and we're back under it, we're below the point of control for the first 15 minutes. That's the environment, and we have an elevated VIX. That's an environment that I feel more comfortable shorting.
Okay, makes sense.
Like, I feel comfortable shorting when they check all the boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm less inclined to be heavy to the sell side without that.
You want to bet on the team that's winning, but you'd rather wait till they're at the 25-yard line, like within field goal range, before trying to bet on them. Yeah,
in that day, and two, structurally, like, we tried to be informed by where value is, where volume is, where, like, from a daily perspective as well, like TPO, like in our room specifically, like every morning we're looking at weekly. How we compare into last week, where we at value and volume for that. Are we in a balance area that's wide? Are we breaking out of balance? Are we attempting to leave value? All of that kind of stuff. And like, when you get a lot of those boxes checked and then the sellers show their strong positioning, in my opinion, by checking those first boxes in the day, 15 minutes in, it's like, okay, if in the big picture we're in a good spot and in the small picture we're also in a good spot, then I'm going to lean more into like those, the ranges that we look at, like failing into the mid. I'm going to lean more into, these are going to be the days where the rotations up are not going to hit the stats. These will be the ones that miss. Like, oh, if we have a 67% chance of getting from this part of the range to this part, that day type is going to be when those don't work. So I'm going to try to arb all those stats to my favor. Whereas on just a normal day, if we're kind of inside of value and VIX isn't crazy, I'm going to be probably looking for some type of sweep or some type of bid to get to be a part of. Like, naturally long bias with the market typically until we get into checking all those boxes, big picture and small picture. And, you know, we have all the context around it with VIX and stuff. So that's kind of, I would say that's like a overview of how I approach the market in general. Yep. But then I pay like close attention in these environments to, okay, if the sellers check all these boxes, we're in, like, they already have the wind in their sails. So we can lean in and kind of go with that. Then I would also just add, make sure you're not in a practice account or a demo account when you're taking your trades. And if you notice someone that happens to be in one, maybe be a buddy and like say, hey man, do you realize that you're trading not in your account? And then, you know, you could say, oh shoot, let me switch that before I'm closing 100-150 point runners that don't matter.
Is there going to be more on this than Good, Bad, and Ugly or something?
Yeah, just I wasted an entire day, but well, whatever.
Okay, so really? Then the reverse go. The yes, reverse.
Were you not around?
I were missed that completely. That? I thought that was.
That was, what was that, yesterday? It was Thursday.
That explains some of the comments during the M-Period Challenge.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that does.
Yeah. So,
I might not have been around for that.
Now, I do have a slightly different perspective on that, and that, especially with volatility, one of the things is if I care which account I'm in, then I'm kind of overly invested in it. And that's kind of a trigger, not a trigger, that's a sign to me that I might be emotional trading. You know, if I'm sitting here and I'm in my practice account and I know I'm in my practice account, am I focused on making good trades or am I focused on making money? Because if I'm sitting there going, oh, I should be in the other account, that's telling me that
if you intended to be in a account, yes. Period. I intended to be in my Absolutely. Top SipX account.
Absolutely.
Not the top SipX practice yes. account. So that was a faux pas. I will say, just to the point of volatility, you mentioned accounts. So Banks and I were talking earlier today. I was driving around. We were just chatting after the market and everything. And we're talking about prop firms from the standpoint of, and this is no dig against, I'm not talking about Apex here, okay. although you could talk about them, but I'm just generally talking a lot of, there are prop firms that require a certain measure of consistency. That's common, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And, we were talking about the potential limited upside. You have to monitor how much you're making so that you make sure you don't make too much because then it kind of makes the consistency
right.
You make it where you have to make win the next time. More. And so you have yeah. a limited shovel to dig out of a hole with, but if they don't have like end of day, if there's not a single day loss limit, it's just total account loss for a day. You know, some just say this right. is your minimum. You can lose as much of it at any point as you want. Then you got to monitor not, you know, that's where you run into like, I dug a big hole and now I have to dig out with a small shovel to hold the consistency rule. So you have to watch that. But one of the things that came to mind when we were thinking about this topic for tonight was, the opposite of that is true, and I didn't think about this until, well, I thought about it like Tuesday, which is part of why I was trading some of those TopSip accounts through the weeks. Usually that's by Monday, Friday, yeah. I'll trade those if I'm going to trade those. Was this is probably a great environment for those kind of accounts because you're limiting, like if you're in a cash account, you can really, if you get squirreled up and on that's the wrong side point. Of this, you can lose way more than you would intend, even trying to trade smaller size. If you get stuck on a day like the first, you know, hour and a half of this day, like, man, that was just, there was no rebids or reoffers so much as it was like, run one side out, immediately run the other side out.
Right.
Well, if you're in an account that costs you $100 or whatever, for $3,000 margin, this is a great environment to roll the dice on those. Not roll the dice, but like trade those. Because that shovel, your shovel of damage is tiny.
Yeah.
Compared to if you're in a cash account with, a, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 in it, you know, that even with a batch of micros, like that can, yeah, dude, you can be mm-hmm. $600 upside down swift if you don't have tight stops or don't trade small size with wider stops, which is another piece of the whole volatility game. But so for future reference, let's say if we roll in to next week and we see some continued push or downside or whatever, and you are a person that trades between cash accounts and a funded account and or still have some like prop accounts that you're working on finishing, it's a great time if you don't have a lot of time invested in those prop accounts to trade those with this volatility because you're limiting your downside because you're paying $100 for $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever, $200 for $5,000 a margin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's like an extra hedge to your benefit.
Yeah, just don't trade the one that you're waiting on the payout for.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. But that's a little nugget that I actually thought of this week, and I didn't really say much about it, but I thought I would mention it after thinking through this podcast because that was part of the impetus for like Thursday trading, thinking at trading top step accounts because mm-hmm. I'm like, opportunity. Well, and
Fleury's described it several times. He's described those prop accounts as basically a call option on your trading ability or a call option on yeah. your system yeah. because you've got limited downside and fairly open upside.
So when would you want to limit your downside? Probably when, if you're uncomfortable in high volatility environments,
that'd be a good one.
Or if just high volatility environments in general are a good opportunity to limit that downside. You're kind of double limiting your downside and position well if you're on the right side of, you know, the moves today, which yeah. were like 100 points, 150 points either way. For a while,
and sometimes in like 2 minutes, 100 points.
Yes.
yeah.
I think Macro Tactical made a post about that. That was really interesting.
1 minute, 77 point rotation up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you want to get down to a granular time frame to take an entry, but then, man, you better be, you know, careful because if you're on the wrong end of that, you're toast. So that's a thought. I think another thing with high vol environments is recognizing if there's a rotation into something else. So if you're biased longside trader and volatility is really coming in on what you would normally trade, and I say it's like, you know, getting crushed, mm-hmm. looking at a different product could also be a thing as well.
Yeah. I've been really liking just having, I mean, I got Dow, ES, NQ, and usually I put gold up. Now I got a lot more UB on my charts than I used to. But yeah, right. Being able to flip between, okay, nothing's happening here. Oh, I don't like the way this one's set up. Oh, ES is lagging. Maybe it's setting up too, though. Maybe I could take that one. Yeah.
For instance, if you're a strong long side bias trade, well, I mean, that would just be something to think about. Look at gold, look at CL, look at YM, look at other markets. If you don't like
lean hogs,
trading the downside, you know?
Good old IE.
Good old lean hogs.
Or if you want to, yeah, I traded lean hogs.
I know.
NQ was doing nothing, dude. I freaking smoked lean hogs that day. It was kind of fun, actually. I keep a little lean hogs on the side. You never know when you might need to, you know?
There
I
mean,
it
moves.
You get hungry pace. Sometimes, you know.
That's right. Feeder cattle, hey, corn, wheat. There's a lot of stuff to trade, man. I'm a sucker for just watching NQ, probably a little too much. I had at one point all the products that I would trade on another monitor. So I had ES, YM,
RTY.
CL, UB. I don't trade Russell.
no Rusty again. For you, huh? Oh, no Rusty. Oh, Rusty burned you.
Yeah,
Rusty burned me long ago. And we don't talk about Russell. Russell's not a name that comes into our house. But UB, ZB, all of that, I would keep on another screen. I felt like stretch kind of thin. I don't know. Yeah, Banks does a good job of that. I feel like, Kyle, you're kind of cutting your teeth in that.
Yeah, part of it was limiting the amount. Like, I have a room for four charts on my double wide screen. So that's the most assets that I'll look at.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, I wouldn't be able to see anything on the charts. And even with the charts that I have now, I'm still usually compressing the ones that I'm not actively looking at. But
right.
Just the act of switching between and shifting your focus. I find that I get in the most trouble when I start to get too laser focused on one thing. Because then it just everything feels more important than it should be. Every little bounce, every little 10-point sell-off takes on outsized importance when you're just staring at that and nothing else is getting into your head.
Yeah, I think typically, so in my trading journey, originally I traded CL. Banks and I traded CL back in the day, almost primarily. We were more CL GC traders than we were NQES,
I like
YM gold. And all that.
That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, and then slowly but surely we all got addicted to NQ, and I was trading ES primarily for quite a while after the CL GC, after we got off that train. And I felt like ES drove me insane because I felt like the opportunities were like fewer and further in between. And if you missed it, like there you are, you got to wait for like forever before another entry opportunity that's like a good one.
Right.
Whereas I feel like both is like it's a positive and a negative. NQ is going to give, you know, it's going to give a lot of entry opportunities way more often because it's going to whip the volatility typically. I mean, just across the board, and NQ is going to be higher. So you're going to get, it might be hard if you're a move stops to break even person. NQ is going to test your patience a little bit more.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. It's going to squeeze through your entry a little bit more. And you've seen that. Like sometimes you just take the break even stop, let it run up 10 or 12 more points, get back in the same position when that little bubble gets over with, but you're going to get, I would say, a couple of swings at your opportunities in NQ, and you're going to get a follow-up opportunity versus ES. And so that kind of drove me to kind of focus more on it. I just,
yeah, it makes
personality
sense.
Types as well, I think. But what about sizing? Bear, do you, you know, have you been sizing differently, or Kyle, during this last stretch of, you know, massive pullback?
I usually keep my size pretty small anyway. Like, for the most part, I'm usually trading between 2 to 4 micros. So I missed most of the big moves this week. I had a bunch of basement work going on and couldn't really do anything on Wednesday or Thursday. We'll talk about Friday when we get to Good, Bad, and Ugly. But yeah, I missed most of that. So not really much I could say to that, I guess.
I didn't necessarily size down. I definitely widened my stops up a little bit. I did experiment. So I trade different sizes between Top Step X and Sierra. And so like Sierra, normally I'll do a three chart with a core and a runner. I'm sorry, three contract. And
yep.
It definitely, I kept the same risk overall, but I dropped it down to one contract just to give myself a much wider stop to work with. And that seemed to help. But that was still in the morning, and I was out of sync this morning. I just kept getting chopped up, and I've seen that more and more on Fridays of I probably shouldn't trade the first hour.
Yeah.
It just seems like Fridays have a tendency to that first hour is just chop, 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 end of the week business. And then after, you know, somewhere after the IBC period, maybe even the beginning of D period, it smooths out.
Part of the problem with Fridays, though, is just too many times I've gotten like an easy, quick win right off the bat and then just get to be done, you know, by 30 minutes into the day. Mm-hmm. And man, that is so nice when that happens. And, but you start to try to push for that, and then that gets you into trouble.
I feel like that's my fault a little bit. I mean, that's my Friday claim. That's my I used to set it. Last year I had a tea time on Fridays at like 11:30.
Yeah.
Nice. And
so I was like, I'm going to make it and then get the freak out of here. We did have the Michigan data as well. Flary just mentioned, in the chat, and I despise news after 9:30. Typically we've talked about that in here. Mm-hmm. And so today was no different. I totally overlooked it.
Was there actually news? Yeah, there was, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember somebody was like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, and
I
was
I failed again, guys. I'm sorry. Banks was dealing with some stuff. He was out, and he's normally our double check on the news.
Yep.
I knew we had news early. I even looked at the financial
Ron. News. Yeah, that was
chat. Ron.
Thanks,
yeah.
Ron.
I even looked at it, and we talked about the numbers, but I didn't look ahead for the day. So, yeah, I didn't size dramatically down. I sized down a little bit today,
mm-hmm.
and tried to widen my stops, but I tried to widen my, I have a hard time widening stops, man. And I know that that's what is probably called for in this, but I just looked at it. I was like, I just don't like the way that looks. So, I mean, maybe I traded a little bit smaller today, but I don't know. I just kind of would rather shoot a few less shots and try to be a little more patient and mm-hmm. keep that stuff a little more like normal.
Yeah.
And just know that I may run out of bullets and whatever. If it does, it does.
Well, that is something we talked about a while ago too. Like what kind of loss can you withstand before it becomes a problem for you? Right.
You're right.
I think we talked a lot about that. I think that's just the big thing to be aware. If you're going to be in a higher volatility environment and you're not going to change your sizing, you may hit that a lot quicker.
I really firmed up towards the end of the week. I really firmed up my adherence to my daily loss. You know, it really kind of took away my excuses. I'm like, no, you know, if I'm not doing that, then I'm out of sync. Because when this volatility is high, I'm either in sync or I'm out of sync, and it's pretty fast. And so I was more comfortable going, you know what? I hit that loss limit. You know what? I'm not here. Let's go to practice account. And you know, it was one of those days of, gee, how many times can I reset my practice account before I catch the rhythm or walk away?
But that's huge. I mean, you preserve capital by jumping into something that on the one hand doesn't matter. And Kyle made the comment today, you know, a practice account matters as much as you make it matter.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you still treat it and regard it the same, you can still, you know, have some benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we hate it when we're trading our practice accounts, but if we're trading when we think we're trading live, but like, man, that's some good data you get in that practice account
mm-hmm.
because you don't know the difference at the time.
No, I mean, earlier in the week, I had a $12,000 trade in my practice account because I put the trade on mm-hmm. at like four, maybe even no, it's like four contracts and it ran 150 points. And I'm like, and what happened is I put the trade on. And then I shifted my attention to my eval account mm-hmm. and I forgot it was on. And and then actually, I think I like struck out on my eval account. I come back over to my practice account And I go to hit a trade and I'm like, wait, unrealized P&L, what? Oh, 12,000? Wow. Yeah. Okay. There's the power of like putting a trade on and ignoring it.
Yeah.
What did Flurry say in the chat there? Volume like this is like is why having the skill set of positional trading is so key. I think that'd be a good topic for next week, maybe, huh?
Yeah. And I really want to agree with what Flurry said earlier about, you know, this kind of volatility is start small and add to winners. Yeah. That's where I've had my outsized returns this week is, you know, I'll put a single lot on, watch it, trail my stop. And if it looks like it's really moving, you know, start adding. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've had those, you know, four contract runs that just blast off.
Yeah. And I think typically I'm trading that way. Like that's my normal approach, you know.
Oh, okay.
Get something on, get where we've moved, get an add on and
risk-free, you know,
add. That's kind of my, because like you said, if you can hold yourself to the standard of your risk profile, you can get into an upside potential, an outsized upside potential on your P&L, as long as you can manage the downside responsibly by adding as it moves in your direction. So you can trade 15 lots. I just wouldn't put 15 lots on at one time.
Right.
Like I'm not really, unless it's Globex. Well, even in Globex, even in those big Globex trades I've been in, it's been twos and threes, twos mm-hmm. and three, twos and threes,
build
twos
into
and
it.
Threes, and then scale, you know, a big batch out on the next move, always trailing that stop up to mitigate so that I'm still never exposed by any more than I was originally.
Right.
There's your other alternative for volatility.
Globex. Yeah, Globex. We talked about that. Oh. Yeah, well, we didn't talk about beautiful. That, but I talked about that with some people on Thursday night. A couple folks in a message me. We were talking about overnight trade, and I was just like, you know, this is like classic float higher overnight. I didn't trade it. Could have, probably should have.
I saw nice. Ron's message in our chat saying that he thought it was just going to float up. I almost put a trade on for him in one of my emails just to see.
Yeah, it really did. And you see that a lot on the backside of these kind of days.
I think that's what we were saying about last week was all the moves were overnight and the retail session was just, our cash session was just chopped.
Yeah. And a few weeks ago we had that same flavor to the market and I noticed it and took advantage of it. I mean, three or four nights, which is atypical because I don't usually trade that much overnight, but I found myself over that week, even like a couple weeks, taking a lot of overnight trades and to the point where I think we were talking about in the room, like doing a night stream.
Yeah.
If it kept being as good, like we'll just throw a night stream up for people on a different, you know, on a different time zone or people that prefer that pace of the market. But so this might be a contrarian opinion. I'm actually really interested to see what Flurry has to say about it. But I was talking to somebody today about this and I thought more about the analogy. And I think I have the analogy kind of solid. So let's imagine that we are like we're tree workers, chainsaw people, lumberjacks. Whatever.
Yeah,
right?
I'm a lumberjack.
In the tree service industry, right? And every day that's like a normal day, we make what we need to make. We have a good, you know, everything's fine. You know, no one's getting blown out of a tree or, you know, chainsaws aren't flying around. And then there's this giant storm that's happening and there's this huge emergency for people to go out and, you know, risk their lives to do all this tree work in the middle of all the shenanigans. Now I know this is like, this is just an analogy to kind of wrap the way that I thought about this a little bit. I mean, I still trade it, but I'm just saying like,
you take some precautions in that.
I just also want to say that it's okay if like this all blows you out of the water. It's totally fine to like, you know, not trade it.
Yeah.
If your typical approach day in and day out rewards you for putting on the kind of risk you put on in the environment that is, let's say, that is present, you know, to a large 50-60% of the days are more normal against the sample size, dude, you don't have to run out in the hurricane with a chainsaw.
Right.
I mean, just wait till the storm's over and then go back to doing what you were doing. Now, here's the thing where I think opportunistic traders, people with a certain measure of skill set, tolerance for risk, capacity to pivot quickly.
We want that hazard pay.
If that, yes, exactly. You know, the danger is still is outsized, but the reward is outsized as well.
Right.
You're not going to get a 400 point runner or a 300 point runner on a regular day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not going to lose 400 points in 45 minutes on a regular day, unless you're like really, really, really bad.
I mean,
and out of touch or trading incredible size, right? So my point is, like, if you don't have experience in a high vol environment, and if this all takes you by surprise, go back and look back through, find context clues, build that part of your skill set, but don't feel like you have to be the hurricane chainsaw operator the first time in 6-5 months that we have this kind of environment. If you're not, and really, if you look at the market over the like since the end of last year, we haven't had this type of like holy very often.
Yeah.
It's been quite the opposite. Holy, like holy cow, how is this going to ever stop? Kind of thing.
Right.
So just, I think just give yourself a little, you know, if you're a trader that maybe had a tough week or whatever, like, hey, just, it's all right, you know, like maybe be aware when volatility is this high that it might not be suited to you and your personality, and that's okay.
That was actually something I was going to ask, but I'm glad you brought up because, yeah, it's, I was curious if you guys embrace the volatility when it happens or if you play more of a defensive, like take more of a defensive posture, like fire your shots more selectively or maybe wait for something like a little more confirmation before you jump in, or are you like guns blazing trying to take advantage of the increased movements?
I mean, if I go in guns blazing, I'm going to strike out pretty fast.
Yeah.
And definitely this morning, I very conscientiously, I started in the practice account just going, okay, can I catch this rhythm today? You know, am I feeling NQ's dance moves? And I really wasn't. And I was still drawn to, oh, well, flip over to a combine. Maybe you're just not taking it seriously enough. No, I wasn't in the rhythm. So I definitely approach it with a lot more caution. And it's one of those days that it helped me a lot to sit there and stare at it and pull back onto the higher time frame, you know, the 5 minute candles, the 15 minute candles, especially, and just go, okay, can I see where the range is moving? And, you know, you get excited because you're like, oh, wow, those are some really clean, you know, 50 point rotations. And you're like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then boom, 130 point rotation. And it's like, right. Are you freaking kidding me? But that was me.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yep. I think I was on the other end of that one.
Yeah.
Well, should we, do we have anything else to talk about with volatility? You guys have any other thoughts before we move on to some good, bad, and ugly?
I'd say for me, in trying to anticipate, I, like most people, as we just stretch higher and higher, you know, go back to like the first of this month or like the first week, second week, we finally started to pull back. And I think I had been saying for a while, like, I'm really okay being like missing the first leg of this.
Right.
I'm going to be a day late to the short. Because like the first big, like we've seen big, you know, we've seen some dramatic pulls. When we get to like structurally where we need leg two to come through, that's when we've fumbled it every time this like stretch so far.
Right.
So that first, like the first, oh my God day, I'm going to miss that day. I'm not going to be long in it back. And like, I'm not going to take stop after stop after stop trying to long it, but I'm going to be more okay with just missing that.
Right.
The second, like, the push through where we had that, where I had that big trade, like end of last week or whatever, it was
Wednesday or Thursday last week.
Yeah. That leg of the trade, like that feels like the meat of the move. I'm going to lean in a little bit there. Like that was that day. But then as we approach the next kind of like spot, which I think we're at here, I'm going to go back to the like we talked about today, like every time sellers got us down there, like they just freaking got toasted.
Yep.
We talked about that. Yep. Like, dude, these guys keep just, they can't quite seal the deal down here. I'm going to be okay with missing that next breakthrough to the downside. And then, you know, we'll reevaluate. So I know that a lot of people in like Twitter world and maybe other places would like to be touting the, like, we caught the first little crack in the market and rode it all the way down. But for me, like, trying to stay alive in all of this, like, I'd rather, like you said earlier, like, I'd rather them get a little further down the field and then join them, you know, for the meat of the move. And then, you know, I don't know how to force the issue. I think we've said the phrase in the room this week a few times, like, I want to let someone else make the decision here.
Yeah.
And then once someone with more firepower than I have, then I'll decide, hey, do we want to go ahead with them or whatever? So I think you just got to give yourself,
Have to be the best right away.
Don't try to front as more informed than you are. And don't try to front as more forward seeing than is realistic. And that's going to help a lot for navigating these type of things. And I just know the reason that I said I'll be a day late to this move or whatever is just because I know if I sit there and try to catch everyone, I'm going to be fodder mm-hmm. in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Because I've done it before. Ask me how I know. What does Flurry say?
Yeah.
Ask me how I know.
We need a t-shirt with that on it.
This is true.
All right, let's do some good, bad, and ugly then. What do you guys say?
Let's do it. Yeah, man. Let's hit some good, bad, and ugly. You got a song for us today?
I don't. I have the old song. We can play that again.
I mean, whatever.
I'm sure I can find. Wait, what's
this? I mean, that the whole, you know, Globex discussion got Night Train rolling through my head.
What is this one? Is this the same one?
We all start with crypto and then try our luck with options. Now we're trading futures and are stuck with NQ and ES, or maybe UB. We wonder if we're dealing with childhood trauma, or maybe we just haven't done enough back testing. Surely all the people on Twitter will know.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah. Here's a little nugget for just anybody out there listening. If you ever find yourself in a trade and you think I'm gonna go see what people on Twitter are saying, you ain't close the trades. Okay. Yeah. I've heard people do that before, bro. Son, you need to get you're in a vulnerable position. All right.
Yeah, because now you're just searching for answers.
Yeah, just stop. Yeah, just stop. Well,
and the flip side, that's why I had to stop posting trades in Twitter, was I caught myself like in a trade and going, well, yeah, but if I let it run, it could go to here and I'll look like the superhero. And it's like, oh.
I mean, I did that last week. I'm not going to lie, but I did on purpose knowing that, right?
Yeah.
But it was a personal goal, Kyle knows, I've had for a long time. We already talked about it. And then Flurry comes in and shatters it this week. Screw him. No,
he's not here. Screw We're not going to talk about it today, although I did put it in my outro.
One thing I was going to say, Bear, and before we get into good, bad, and ugly, and Kyle, you appreciate this as well. I feel like you've probably done this before as well. But like, I talked about that overnight trade like last night, that the long would probably be easy, especially blah, 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 all this stuff. I didn't take it. Right. But one of the other people that I was talking to took it and like, I'm just like, I mean, good for you. Nice. But the number of times that crap happens, it's just like, I want to kick my own rear end.
That's like a 200 point move. And God damn. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
Did you see Pro Shot there? Says he prefers to ask Reddit than Twitter.
Jeez, I don't think I've logged into Reddit in
I remember the last time I was.
Forever.
All right, who wants to go first with some good, bad, and ugly here?
I'll go. It'll be quick.
Oh.
The good is I don't feel like I tried to force anything like this week.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I tried to be I felt like, you know, nailing like got getting what I got before. Feeling really good about that, not wanting to try to duplicate that, not wanting to try to force it, although there was a day where I could have. But, you know, that day I think we closed out, I think I had a 100-point runner on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, I don't remember. Or Wednesday and Thursday both I think actually had that, but one of them was a day where I traded a freaking wrong account. So the good is that I didn't try to, like, force anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I kind of tried. I was fairly patient. I wasn't diving in and out, you know, jumping on hand grenades for everybody, providing liquidity. So from that standpoint, I feel good about it. And the other good was I learned something about my equity curve this week that I didn't realize or know. And that is each day looking at my P&L over time.
Yeah. So from like the start of the RTH to the end of the day?
From the start of from the start of RTH to like lunchtime or 1 o'clock. And what I found is there's a distinct repetitive moment in time where there's a massive move in my P&L. Like it's an injection of volatility into my P&L in a 20-minute window. So really focusing on what's going on in the market at that time and how I'm making decisions is something that I'm interested to continue to lean more into. And it really looks like that makes or breaks my day. So it's really not the first batch of trades I put on, unless I just stop with those and the P&L is flat for the, you know, if I'm done, you know, if I just trade one, whatever, and then I'm not trading anymore. But if I continue to trade, what develops or evolves between about 10:20 to like 10:40, that little window, 10:15 to 10:40, it seems to be incredibly pivotal. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know exactly how I'm going to like arb that out beneficially, but I think I'm going to definitely pay way more attention to how I'm thinking and feeling and processing information and making decisions during that time frame, as in juxtaposition to like being so aggressive maybe early.
I'm curious. Yeah, that's something you definitely should dive into. Like, is it consistent, like regardless of how you performed in the morning? Is it after you've taken some losses in the morning, then you tend to do a lot better? Or
yeah, doesn't matter. There's times where I was down, you know, I don't know, 7,500 points, mm-hmm. and then that time frame hits and I'm up the same amount of points in over that 20 minutes. There's times where I'm up a bunch of points and then that time frame hits and I'm boom, I'm, you know, up a lot more. Could be tied to like closing trades, like closing out of like a trade or whatever. Could be part of it.
It's not showing you the P&L until it actually hits a target. Maybe.
But even going back and looking at trades and trade times, I'm also entering there as well. Yeah. And that could be a place I could see that as like second stage ads that don't work out, mm-hmm. you know, so then you eat it.
Yeah.
Or second stage ads that do work out. So I want to dive into that more. So that's a good. The bad was, I think this morning was bad. I mean, it wasn't like terrible. I didn't like die or anything. It wasn't an account blowing scenario, but like just like not appreciating, like I was recognizing that we were moving swiftly mm-hmm. from lows to highs, not reoffering, not rebidding. I had areas that we would like bang into, pull off of immediately, to stuff that I'd drawn out before we started, and I struggled to execute on the edges when we were balancing so hard there for the first little while. And I tried to like get in a little bit later and it was just bad. Like if that was my trading week, that would have been a horrible week.
Right.
You know,
right.
Fortunately it was Friday and it didn't matter. But and then the ugly is that I tore off like a pretty textbook trade to the downside on the 25th. So yesterday, absolute like textbook 15 minute volume point of control retest entry add scale, just a beautiful 5 contract trade all the way down that was worth nothing because it was not in the right account. So and the scales were so good, dude. I mean, they were like scaled at every low consolidation. Like we on a small time frame, we pulled down. Like I would scale, we would consolidate, pop up a little bit, drop another like 20 points or whatever. Yeah, that would be the next scale. Like it was just so easy. It's never in doubt. It's like I was like, we were just, you know, arms back in the chair having a great time. And then
you look and you see that little.
No, I didn't ever notice it. Someone else asked me about it.
Man, I'm
sorry. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, my God, are you freaking kidding me? But I just didn't pay much attention.
Do you close up the charts immediately when that happens and then just decide you're not going to trade the rest of the day? Because
I didn't trade anything after that. Yeah. I didn't even try. And I switched over and thought about it, and I was like,
no. You got to process that. That's painful.
So that's it for me. Good, bad, and a little bit of ugly.
I got a really good, and I got a really bad ugly. My good, I have passed my first eval.
Let's go, Kyle. Look at you, buddy.
Well done.
It's been a long time coming, but finally got one. I got the certificate the other day. I took 2 days off after passing. I passed it on Tuesday. I was trying to get it done before this basement work started, which probably wasn't the best thing to do.
But you had it really close at the end of last week, so you could be responsible. And
it was within like $100, so yeah. And there was, I think, three different times I bungled three different trades. Like, I think I had five ticks on UB. It traded my take profit that I needed to hit to close it out right there, and then it retraced all the way back to me. I put another one on because it came right back to my entry. I scaled one off for a tick, and then I was taking the other one off for what I thought was four ticks, but it was three ticks, so I was a tick short again. So then then there was one point where I said to myself, I will not blow this account up. And then I made sure I put my fucking stop back in place because I didn't have one at the time.
Good decision.
But the bad is Friday. And the reason that it's bad, actually, I would call this ugly, actually. I took a daily loss limit on an account, on an eval. It was one of the, it was the worst performing one, but that doesn't matter. Because like we said, we treat these like they're real. But what makes it ugly is that there was warning signs throughout the entire day that I noticed going into Friday pre-market, and I was talking to my wife. I was telling her, like, yeah, I'm feeling this. This isn't, I should probably take the day off. I don't feel like I'm getting into the work today like I was the days before. I feel really anxious and nervous. Decided to try to push through it and see how I felt. And then, from there,
Was it a personal daily loss limit, or was it the account, the max?
No, it was the max. Okay. It was the max account loss.
So you had the personal loss limits turned off.
Oh, I count on myself to honor those, and I failed myself today. That's what hurt. I got my checklist of the four things that I want to be every day: patient, responsible, balanced, accepting. I was able to check off patient and a partial check on accepting, because part of why I took that loss was because I just didn't want to accept that I was losing it.
Yeah.
The good that I take out of it, though, is that I actually was able to sit down and confront the day. And that's something that typically is difficult for me to do. I was able to pull some good things out of it. Some more warning signs that I need to pay attention to. I'm also happy that I limited the damage to one eval account. I didn't destroy a brand new funded account that I haven't traded yet. There's a lot of good things that I did, but it's still disappointing to go that long and have that long of a streak. I think it was probably like a month there that I've been doing this, and every day I've been able to check these off, and today was the first day I couldn't. And that makes me sad.
Do you think the volatility this week has impacted that?
I think Wednesday, Thursday had a huge impact on that, because I couldn't trade those days because there's too much going on in my house. And then seeing some of the moves and some of the trades that some people hit, and I'm thinking, oh, I want a part of this. I want a piece of this. I think I was just trying to force something. I was too smart for my own good, I think.
Yeah, I think that though there's, like you just mentioned, a bunch of things that you can take away from that. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the insulation of an account like that, where you didn't lose those real dollars. Your bank account, your brokerage account didn't change. I mean, the number of contracts you can trade next week isn't affected by that. I mean, if it's a cash account, you really have to consider margin and all of that. So that's like the one positive. The other positive is what you can learn from that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, because banks, I was talking to Banks, he had a bunch of stuff going on today or whatever, but I wonder if having, like, I know that I love to, like, I look at the stuff before, and then like I look at it with everybody and draw it up in the prep when we're doing, mm-hmm, like talking through the morning and stuff like that. But I think we're going to probably reserve like the last, we'll do like 10 minutes of that and then take like 5 minutes and just make sure that we're all good.
Like some affirmations or just a roll call check or
either
something?
Affirmations or just say, hey man, like, is it, you know, is anybody feeling a type of way today? Do you need to You need to not trade.
How'd you sleep last night?
Yeah. Are you feeling the way you need to feel to come in and perform the way you need to perform? And almost making it a common thing to, if your circumstances are such mentally or surroundings that you need to be sitting out that day, that it's like common for people to opt out.
Yeah.
Or to at least have a chance to verbalize that with the people that they're, you know, trading with every day.
Especially if we can like cheer and give them a round of applause for making the hard decision, you know, something to encourage it, right?
There's days where I am not feeling it.
Yeah. Yep.
There's ranges where I don't want to trade. There's, you know, I have stuff going on. I get phone calls, crap's blowing up. Who knows what's going on? sick kids.
Traders are not paid by the hour. You're not paid by the shovelful.
We're not.
You're paid for waiting for the opportunity
and for performing well when that happens, and being having the both the mental and the fiscal capital to deploy in those moments. And so, yeah, man. I mean, I think that's something we should normalize, at least in our room, and just saying, hey, man, is everybody, you know, if you are thinking you might not be good today, this is your chance to say, hey guys, if you hear me talking about trading a bunch, you need to tell me to freaking stop.
Or if I'm quiet today, fucking ask me a question.
Yeah.
Make sure
Or just normalize, hey, I'm going to shift into my practice account to see if I'm actually feeling it today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle, let's, if nothing good comes from this but us doing a little emotional, because we're checking the market for opportunity, we need to check ourselves for opportunity as well.
Yeah. And we can do that together and model that, right?
I think we can.
I think so too. Bear, what do you got for some good, bad, and ugly, buddy?
Yeah. Trying to flip these around. Ugly, I popped my, I popped my cork last week with actually doing a reset in an account for the first time since like February.
Of course, it was right after we talked about it, I think, right?
Well, no. And I think we actually talked about it a little bit in that greed session about, you know, it was, I had taken it as a point of pride to a point of excess of, I'm not paying for resets. Well, okay. Well, what are we doing? And kind of challenging myself to, okay, I'm going to pay for a reset as an investment in myself. And I feel like I reached a point where I could trade responsibly. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of pop the cork and purchase several resets early in the week, but then settled down, you know, started looking at that and kind of going, well, okay. And, you know, I ended up resetting again because I didn't put my limits on. I didn't put those personal daily loss limits on. And, you know, I hit the wall, you know, it's just like, gee, who couldn't see that coming? Somebody who was desperate to reprove themselves.
Right.
That was kind of my ugly, but that spin out let me see kind of the full circle.
Okay.
And get my bearings.
What do you mean?
And,
how do you mean?
You know, I got to remember, it's like, oh yeah, this is why I don't want to do this. And, but also kind of, you know, shift my focus back to a bigger picture and go, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? And what doesn't work? Well, what doesn't work is letting myself have outsized losses. So ratchet back down that personal daily limit, you know, ratchet everything down, back down to the 450, even on a freaking, you know, 150K account where the, you know, the account loss limit's $4,500.
Right.
And a lot of logic in there of, you know, if this is a live account or a cash account, everything in there is at risk. So, you know, I'm getting off track.
It's all right, dude. It's all right. I have a question for you, though, if you don't mind. Something that Andrew brought up when it comes to like revisiting like old past behaviors. He's told me he keeps like his own like private Discord just for himself. And he posts like all the bad things that he's done over the years. And he'll go and spend like 5 minutes in there every couple weeks or so just to like browse around, try on the, you know, the clothes again, see if they still fit, just to remind himself like, yeah, okay, I remember those days. I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah. There was a little bit of there.
You ever try anything like that?
I mean, I've got my journals that I write a lot of stuff down in, but I don't necessarily do a good job of going back to them.
Yeah.
Maybe halfway.
Yeah, it might be something to consider. I don't know, just an idea.
Yeah. I do definitely keep a pretty good catalog of those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things did help me identify, okay, you know, middle of the day, go away. Just don't.
Yeah.
And then come back in for power hour. You know, yesterday, Wednesday, I had fantastic trades, you know, after I stepped away for a while and I came back in the afternoon after lunch, traded fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, I had a personal emergency. So, you know, you guys were hitting off 400 point runners and I was, you know, a long ways from screens. And actually, I'm really happy that even though I was away from the screens, I had no temptation to pull my phone out and try to play, you know, trader on my phone. So that was awesome.
I'd say that's a good.
Yeah. And my power hours the last 3 days have been fantastic as far as, you know, my trading, and that's been an interesting dynamic of, you know, and help remind me that those are kind of some good periods for me to trade.
Yeah, you were
in a volatile session.
You were on fire in M period today.
Like I said, my last 3 days, my M periods have just been great. But, you know, my B periods have been horrible.
Yeah.
And you know, having that really tight personal daily loss limit really saved me on those.
I wonder if you don't just skip those.
Well, yeah. And it was also, I think that was the other thing there is, you know, I was trading one set of accounts, mm-hmm. Linked during the mornings. And then, you know, I had this other account that was sitting out there going, okay, you know, this is my afternoon. This is my play account. And that's the one I ended up passing in 2 days.
Right.
I'm like, okay, well, I guess now it's an XFA. Cool. So
right.
We'll start in on that next week.
Well, congrats on that. All right. Anything else for good, bad, and ugly then? Or should we get the bold pie diction and wrap this thing up?
Go for it.
Let's go.
All right. Okay. So PieBot for next week, he says a bold breakthrough in a race for a viable electric vehicle battery promising significant increase in range and a decrease in charging time will cause EV stocks such as Tesla and NIO to surge by 10% or more in the week, driving up the NASDAQ 100 futures in the process.
Interesting. I mean, I personally, I have a lot invested in the battery technology. I'm building, you know, a purely off-grid house that's, mm-hmm. you know, solar and battery powered. So that could be interesting. I do pay attention to some of the chemistry around there.
Pay attention to NIO. NIO has not been a friend to me over the years. I think it's fucked me over a few times. But I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I'd like to say thank you to Bear Goes Long and Baba Yaga for joining us tonight. Everyone who's listening, for sticking around to the end. Remember, please show our panel some love. Click on those show notes and... Motherfucker, where's the AI bot? Remember to show our panelists some love. Click on those links
in the AI outro.
Visit Vonta Trading to sling some Nazi with Baba Yaga every morning. BanditTradersPodcast.com, where you can browse our huge catalog by guests. And don't forget about Rare Barrel on YouTube. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully more impressive than a 400-point long in the middle of a major sell-off. But until then, be the listener that rates and reviews your favorite shows, and have a great week.
Ooh, let's go.
Woo!
Hey, spazzy nazzy.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.